بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 18th session. Reading from the Arabic lessons in Hadith, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Level 3 of the Islamic University of Medina Arabic program. And today we're going to be reading Hadith Al-Hadithu الثامنُ عشرة, the 18th hadith on page 42. This hadith is entitled في الحج عن الغير, يعني concerning performing pilgrimage on behalf of someone else, يعني somebody performing the pilgrimage on behalf of another person. الحج عن الغير. Okay, today's hadith عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. It says عنه on the board. Let's change this. عنهما. Let's change this. Page 42. رضي الله عنهما. Oh, I still missed it. Let me make some space here. Radiallahu anhuma. Okay. Anhuma. Okay. Now, again. An Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Anna. On our paper it says anna ar-rasul. It should be anna an-nabi. Anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama sami'a rajulan yaqulu labbayka an shubrumata. Qala man shubrumatu? Qala akhun li أو قريب لي. قال حججت عن نفسك؟ قال لا. قال حج عن نفسك ثم حج عن شبرمة. رواه أبو داود وغيره. Again, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. On the authority of Ibn Abbas, that is Abdullah Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Anna an-nabiyya, yani it should be, instead of Rasul, it should be an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sami'a rajulan yaqulu. Yes, we have to add that also. That's missing from the book. The word after, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the first line, near the end of the first line, before the word rajulan, there should be sami'a. Sami'a rajulan. Yani an ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sami'a. رَجُلًا يَقُولُ, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he heard a man saying لَبَّيْكَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَتَ, يعني here I am at your command, يعني he's saying to Allah, here I am at your command, answering the call, يعني answering your call to perform the pilgrimage. لَبَّيْكَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَتَ, يعني here I am answering the call on behalf of someone named Shubruma. Notice that Shubruma here has fatta, يعني because it's majrur from the preposition an, and it's mamnu min al-sarf, so it takes يعني fatta instead of kasra to indicate that it is majrur. An Shubrumata qala, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said من شبرمتو. Here it is مرفوع, so it takes ضمة. من شبرمتو, who is شبرمة؟ قال, the man said أخ لي a brother of mine's, yani my brother, أو قريب لي, or he said, yani this or the other, Ibn Abbas, the narrator, was not sure. He was in doubt if he said أخٌ لي, or he said قريب لي. The man said, a brother of mine, or a relative of mine. قال, that is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, حججت عن نفسك, يعني have you performed حج, pilgrimage, on behalf of yourself, يعني first, before this. قال, يعني the man said, لا, no, I have not. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then said to him, حج, perform pilgrimage, عن نفسك, on behalf of yourself, first. ثم حج عن شبرمة, then perform pilgrimage on behalf of شبرمة, يعني in the following year or sometimes after that. رواه أبو داود, reported by أبو داود, وغيره, and other than him. يعني here رواه أبو داود may suggest to us that Abu Dawood is the only one who has narrated this, while in fact, from amongst the Qutb al-Sitta, yani the six books that we are mainly yani relying upon, from amongst those six books, actually Ibn Majah also narrated it. Ibn Majah. So it is reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. I wrote here, yani غيرهُ a Ibn Majah. Ghayru means other than him. Yani Abu Dawood and other than Abu Dawood. But he didn't indicate who other than Abu Dawood has narrated. In any case, yani from amongst the other scholars who collected this hadith, from amongst them, from the books, the six books, is Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah. And it was also narrated by other scholars too. But from amongst the six books, it's reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. Okay, any question about the vocabulary in this hadith or any other point that needs clarification? From the beginning of the hadith, an ibni, yani majrur, abbasin, mudawfun ilayhi, majrur, radiyallahu anhuma, anna an-nabiyya, yani an-nabiyya is mansub, ism anna. And again, we place the word an-nabi here, because actually, in both Ibn Majah and Abu Dawood, it came An-Nabi instead of Rasul. It came An-Nabi. In both Abu Dawood and also in Ibn Majah, it came An-Nabi. There are other narrations of this hadith with various wordings, the same hadith which did mention Ar-Rasul. But in our hadith from Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, it mentions An-Nabi. An-Nabiyya, yani mansub, because of ism Anna. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sami'a, yani this word is missing from our book. He heard, rajulan, yani a man, mafulun bi mansub, yaqulu labayka an shubrumata. Shubrumata, yani ism majrur, mamnu min al-sarf, walamatu jarrihi fatha. That's the name of a person. Shubruma is the name of a person. The Prophet, naam, naam.
My question is, why here the question doesn't use like a half full istifham, like I just
okay, yani after, okay, we're coming to that. Call a man shubromatu after that, not here, right? In any case, let me just, man shubroma is a question, right?
No.
So let's put a question mark there. Okay, after that we have قال أخٌ لي, a brother of mine, يعني أخي, أو, or, the narrator wasn't sure, he said, قريبٌ لي, a relative of mine. قال, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him, حججت عن نفسك, your question, why it doesn't have, هل حججت, أو أحججت, because sometimes in speaking, يعني the intonation is sufficient, right, because this is a conversation. So in conversation, it's clear if somebody says حَجَجْتَ عَنْ نَفْسِكْ, يعني from the intonation of the speech, you can understand that it's a question. In some of the narrations, the istifham, harf istifham, is used. Hamzatul istifham is there, or hell is there. Naam. But in this narration, in Abu Dawood and in Ibn Majah, it came without that. يعني, so we understand from the speech, Yani, when this incident took place, the Prophet ﷺ asked him in that way, and it was understood to be a question. Yani, he asked him, "Hajajta an nafsika?" Yani, meaning, "Hal hajajta an nafsika?" Naam.
Actually, we have it in other languages, but I didn't know that in Arabic.
Yes, also in Arabic. Naam. Okay, qala. Yani, after the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "Did you perform pilgrimage on behalf of yourself?" He said, "La, no, I have not performed pilgrimage yet on behalf of myself." Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hujja. This is a fi'l amra. Fi'l amra. Hujja. From hajja ya hujju. Yani, hujja an nafsika. Perform. And this is a command from the Prophet. Perform pilgrimage on behalf of yourself. Thumma hujja an shubrumata. Then perform pilgrimage on behalf of Shubruma. Rawahu Abu Dawood wa ghayruhu. Abu Dawood and other than him narrated it. That is from the Kutub al-Sitta Ibn Majah. Tayyib. Any other question? Okay. Let's look at... First, let me just say this, right? This hadith has some discussion concerning its authenticity. Okay? There's some discussion concerning its authenticity. Particularly, whether or not the hadith is marfu'un, yani a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is it mawquf? Mawquf, huh? Mawquf or marfu'un? Okay, there are some scholars who said that this is marfu'. Marfu'un means, yani, that it's attributed to the Prophet. And some said, no, it is mawquf. Mawqufun. Meaning, yani, it is attributed to Sahabi, yani Ibn Abbas. Okay, so there's difference of opinion concerning this. Wallahu a'lam, it appears as though it is marfu'an. Anyway, it's a lengthy discussion concerning it. I'll just mention a couple of points related to this issue, the question about this hadith. First of all, the hadith, yani, is narrated in Abu Dawood, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his checking of the Sunnah of Abu Dawood, said it is sahih. The hadith is also narrated in the Sunnah of Ibn Majah, and there Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in the checking of Ibn Majah, said the hadith is sahih. It is also narrated in the sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah, in his book As-Sahih, and Ibn Khuzaymah, yani, narrates it with an isnad that Al-A'zami, yani, one of the late contemporary scholars, in his checking of Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, said isnaduhu sahih. So, there are a number of scholars who narrated this hadith, and there are, yani, early scholars and later scholars who considered it to be sahih. Yani, from amongst the contemporary scholars who considered it to be sahih is Shaykh al-Albani and al-Azami. Yes, fi'l amr. Hujja is fi'l amr. There's no sukoon because, yani, because two jeems, both of them having sukoon, means two second letters meeting. You can't have that. So we remove the sukoon and put fatha. Okay, we remove the sukoon from the second one because we can't have two letters with sukoon back to back. So we remove the sukoon and replaced it with fatha. Okay, also concerning the authenticity of this hadith, yani, in the Mirqat al-Mafati, the explanation of Mishkat al-Masabi, yani, it's mentioned, yani, concerning this particular hadith, that some scholars, like al-Bayhaqi, in discussing this hadith, said that the hadith is muttarib. Yani, or at least it's mentioned here in the explanation that some of the scholars said that it's muttarib. Muttarib means that there's some conflict in the way the hadith is narrated. Like in this particular case, it's narrated sometimes marfu'un, attributed to the Prophet as a statement of the Prophet, and sometimes it's narrated mawqufun as a statement of Ibn Abbas. Okay? Sometimes it's narrated like this, sometimes it's narrated like that. So some of the scholars said it's muttarib in terms of it being marfu or mawquf. And then some of the scholars had a lengthy naam.
Prophet in his entire life, he did one hajj. So he did that hajjat al-wada and all this thing in this major hajj.
Yeah? Say that again?
Prophet did only hajjat al-wada.
Hajj one time. He only made hajj one time. Okay.
We are putting the camera and all the conversation and everything was happening.
Well, Jabir didn't pick this one up. Ibn Abbas picked this one up. But different companions narrated different things from his Hajj, right? Jabir narrated the most complete account of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, radiallahu anhuma. But other Sahaba also narrated different events in Hajj. So this is one of the events that took place. And they used to try to remember everything that happened. Especially in acts of worship like Hajj or Yani Salat or whatever. Especially in those events, they tried to remember whatever happened, whatever occurred, Yani whatever was said by the Prophet ﷺ. Now, so there's some difference of opinion, as I said. So some scholars, like Ibn Muflis, he said in his book, he said that some of the scholars said this hadith is da'if. And that is because Sa'id ibn Abi Uruba, Yani who's in the chain of both Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, that he, Sa'id ibn Uruba, he used to narrate this hadith in Basra, in the city of Basra. Yani he made it to be from the speech of Ibn Abbas. And he said, Ibn Abbas heard a man saying this. And Ibn Abbas said to the man such and such. This discussion was Ibn Abbas. And Yani, in Basra, he narrated as an event that took place with Ibn Abbas and a man. Then after that, in Kufa, another city, he went there and he narrated as a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So the same man, Sa'id ibn Uruba, he narrated in one city, as mawquf from Ibn Abbas, and in another city he narrated, yani later on, as marfu'un from the Prophet ﷺ. This indicates that he was confused. Yani is the hadith marfu'un or mawquf? And in addition to that, Qatada, one of the other narrators in this isnad, who narrated from Abu Aruba, he narrated the hadith with the expression an. And this kind of expression, if it's used by a narrator who has been yani described with tadlis means the narrator, sometimes he narrates a hadith and he doesn't mention his sheikh that he heard it from, but he may mention him by another name that he's not known by, to hide his sheikh for whatever reason. There may be various reasons for that, but whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. If he hides his sheikh, he doesn't describe his sheikh, he doesn't mention his sheikh, but he skips over him, mentions somebody else, or he mentioned by a name that he not known, this is called tadlis. And it is said that Qatada, radiallahu anhu, he was, yani, described of being a mudallis, a narrator who did tadlis, and for this reason, yani, when a narrator who is yani accused of tadlis narrates with this word an, he doesn't say clearly, yani akhbarani, haddathani, sami'tu. He doesn't use language that's clear that he heard it from that person, but he says an, which is vague language. If he is accused of tadlis, then we don't accept his narration. So these are two reasons, the an'ana of Qatada, and also yani the ittirab of Sa'id ibn Aruba, that sometime he narrated marfu'un and sometime mawquf. For this reason, some of the scholars said that this hadith is da'if. In any case, we're just mentioning this, so we know that there's some discussion amongst the scholars, difference of opinion about whether this hadith is authentic or not. Now, as I said already, a number of scholars, contemporary and scholars of the past, yani said that yani the hadith is sahih. Yani Ibn Khuzaymah narrated in his sahih, and Shaykh al-Albani said both the narrations of Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud are sahih, and there are other scholars who said so likewise. So, some scholars said that this hadith is da'if, and some scholars said that it was abrogated by the hadith of Al-Khasha'amiyya, the woman who asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I make hajj on behalf of my father? And he said, yes. And he didn't ask her, did you make hajj for yourself first? He just said, yes. So they said then, this open permission abrogates this yani limited statement from the Prophet that you can only make hajj if you did it for yourself first. This, the hadith of Khaf'amiyya, her hadith was in Hajj al-Wada, in the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet, and they said that her hadith abrogates the previous narration. In any case, Yani, there's difference of opinion about this. I just wanted to pass by this discussion, yani, just so that we'll be aware that there's some difference of opinion about this particular hadith. From amongst the scholars who narrated this hadith, mawquf, yani, as a statement of Ibn Abbas, is in the Musnad of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. He narrates it from Abi Kalaba, who said that Samia Ibn Abbas Rajulan. Ibn Abbas is the one who heard the man saying Labayka an Shubrama. And likewise in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, it's narrated also Mawquf. And I'm sorry, not the Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba. Yeah, Ibn Abi Shayba. Now it's narrated Mawquf there also. And in the other books it's narrated, attributed to the Prophet Marfu'an. And I think we can suffice with this. Any discussion concerning the doubt about yani, or the difference amongst the scholars concerning the authenticity of this particular hadith. Finally, Ibn Taymiyyah, I'll just mention, Ibn Taymiyyah said that Imam Ahmed originally said that this hadith is mawquf, a statement of Ibn Abbas, and then Ibn Taymiyyah said that the son of Imam Ahmed narrates that his father yani, considered this hadith to be marfu'an, which means that he came across some evidence that the narrator, yani, that they are narrators of this hadith who narrated authentically, who are thiqah, and therefore, yani, they considered it to be marfu'an, and there are a number of other scholars likewise who considered it to be marfu'an. Okay, let's get back to the hadith. If somebody has a question, we'll take it now. Naam, Mustafa.
My question is, can the statement, Ahuni Awu Haribun, so if you're not sure, can put in questions of authenticity?
No. No, that won't be a question about authenticity of the hadith. That would be a question about the exact wording. What the man said. Did the man say, أَخٌ لِي أَوْ قَرِيبٌ لِي? So there's a question about that, yes. But doesn't matter. If he said, أَخٌ لِي أَوْ قَرِيبٌ لِي, that doesn't affect it being authentic. It just means that actually strengthens its authenticity. Because it means the narrator of the hadith was so truthful that he wouldn't say akhun li without saying I'm not sure. Maybe it was qareebun li. That means he was so honest that he didn't say, like people today, they'll say it was so-and-so. And even though they're not sure, anyway, yeah, it was so-and-so. They won't say, well, I'm not really sure it was him or it was his brother, one or the other. I'm not really sure. No, they just said it was him. Okay? But the narrator was so yani, meticulous and so honest that he said, I'm not sure of that man. Did he say akhun li or qareebun li? It doesn't affect its authenticity. If anything, it strengthens it. Because it verifies the integrity and the honesty of the narrator of the hadith. And the meticulousness of wanting to bring every word exactly the way he heard the conversation. It was a conversation going on. He's narrating exactly what they said. And if he wasn't sure about one word, he said, I'm not sure about this word. Did he say akh or did he say qareeb? Now,
said that some scholar like
Al-Shaykh
Al-Albani found the hadith to be authentic.
Did
he find it also to be like marfu?
Yeah, he said that the narration in Abu Dawud, which is narrated marfu'an, he said the isnad is sahih. And the narration in Ibn Majah is also narrated marfu'an, and he said it's sahih. Yani in some of the other books it's narrated mawqufan, but in these two narrations it's narrated marfu'an, and Shaykh Al-Albani said both of them are sahih. And Ibn Khuzaymah, who's the earlier scholar, narrated this hadith with a chain that's marfu'an. And he also considered it to be sahih, because he narrated in his book, which is a book of only authentic hadith. And then Al-Azami, contemporary scholar, checking Ibn Khuzaymah, said he agreed that yes, it is sahih. Okay, so this is a lengthy discussion about, yani, technical matters for the hadith, right? And we don't normally have this discussion, but the reason why we're having this discussion today is because this hadith, unlike the previous hadith, there's doubt about, yani, there's difference amongst the scholars about its authenticity. So we want to allude to that, yani, even if it in passing. Of course, this discussion that we just had is like requires sessions just to talk about, yani, what is mawquf, what is marfu'un, what is muttarib. These are things that require sessions for us to talk about. We're just passing over it, just so that we're aware that there is some discussion. As far as the details of it, and perhaps in the future we might have a chance to discuss some of it. Okay, let's get back to the hadith and the grammatical points and the explanation of this hadith. Okay. In this hadith, well, by the way, yani, before we close that topic, I should also mention that Ibn Hibban also said this hadith is sahih. Yani Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban and Shaykh al-Albani and al-Azami, all of them said that this hadith is sahih, yani from amongst those who hold that opinion. As far as the meaning of the words, on the bottom of page 42, Ma'ani al-Kalimat. Yani in this hadith, it says that the Prophet ﷺ heard a man saying, Labbayka an Shubruma. Yani, here I am, at your command, answering your call, O Allah, on behalf of Shubruma. So what is the meaning of Labbayk? Labbayk, it means, Ijabatan ba'da ijabatin. Ijabatan ba'da ijabatin. Yani, meaning, answering. One after another, again and again and again. Yani, in yani response to your call, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the people to come to the Kaaba, to Mecca, to make pilgrimage. And we are saying, when we recite the Talbiyah, we are saying, Labayk Allahumma Labayk, Labayk la sharika laka Labayk. Yani, meaning, we are answering that call. Here I am at your command, answering your call. So the meaning of Labayka is Ijabatan. From Ajaba Yujibu, to answer. To respond, ijabatan. That's the masdar, ijabatan. Answering, one ijabatun? Time after another.
Now, ijabatun,
it's mansub because it is yani maful mutlaq. Yani, ana ajabtu. I answered ijabatan maful mutlaq. Yani, emphasizing the answering, right? Ijabatan ba'da ijabatin. Okay, after this, the same word labbayka, yani it's from the verb labba. Yani it says what? Labba. That's the past tense form. Labba, it means qala labbayka allahumma labbayk. Yani if somebody says labba, he labba, it means he what? He said these words, labbayka allahumma labbayk. That's what labba means. For somebody to say, here I am, O Allah, at your command, answering your call. So the past tense of this verb is labba, and the mudari is yulabbi. So this is from what form of the verb? Huh? It's a naqis verb, but what form is it from? It's from thulathi? Mazid. Second form, yani fa'ala, yufa'ilu. Thulathi mazid. There's an extra letter added here, by doubling the middle radical, the ba. Labba yulabbi. Like, allama yuallimu. But here it is a naqis verb, so the last vowel is a weak letter. Labba, I mean the last letter is a weak letter, last consonant is a weak letter. Labba yulabbi. The masdar is talbiyatun. Talbiya. Talbiya, yani, is the masdar. And the masdar for this pattern of the verb, the thulathi mazid, second form, fa'ala, its masdar is on the pattern of taf'il. Unless it is a fi'l naqis, or a verb that has the hamza on the last radical. In that case, instead of taf'il, it's taf'ila. Taf'ila. So that's why we have talbiya. Talbiya. Okay, so this is the masdar. It means, yani, the act of saying, here I am, or at your command, O Allah. Okay, after this, on the next page, 43, the second expression we have in this hadith, labayka an shubrumata, an shubrumata. Ay, uhrimu bilhajji an shakhsin ismuhu shubruma. Yani, meaning, the meaning of labayka an shubruma, I am here answering your call on behalf of shubruma. It means, uhrimu, I'm entering the state of ihram, consecration for Hajj Umrah. I'm entering the state of ihram, bil hajji, for pilgrimage, an shakhsin, on behalf of a person, ismuhu shubruma. On behalf of shakhsin, yani, his name is shubruma. I'm entering the state of ihram to perform pilgrimage on behalf of a person whose name is shubruma. No.
Shakhs name was it? Naifal?
Huh?
Uhrimu?
Uhrimu? No. It's from Ahrama Yuhrimu Ana Uhrimu. Ana uhrimu. It's the fourth form of the thulathi mazid. Yani it's from the verb ahrama. Its mudari is yuhrimu in the first person, uhrimu. Ana uhrimu. Yani I am entering the state of ihram for pilgrimage on behalf of a person whose name is Shubruma. Naam.
Shakhsan means person.
Naam. Naam. If you say, yani, jaa shakhsun ma. Yani, a person, some person came. A person, yani shakhs, person, naam.
It's a vague ma.
Huh? Yeah, with ma, yeah, it became vague, naam. Akhun li aw qareebun li. A brother of mine. Li means belong to me or associated with me. A brother of mine or a relative of mine's. Yani, akhun li means the same as saying, akhi. Huh? Qareebun li is like saying, qareebi. This expression here in the hadith, we already mentioned earlier, a brother of mine's or a relative of mine's, shakkun, indicates doubt. Min Ibn Abbasin radiallahu anhuma. Doubt from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father. Fi ma qala rajulu. Concerning what the man said. Ibn Abbas was doubtful about what he said. Yani, did he say, a brother of mine or a relative of mine? Hada mithalun liddiqati inda ruwati. This is an example of the diqqa, the meticulousness. Of the narrators of hadith. How meticulous they are. Last expression, hajajta an nafsika. Hajajta an nafsika? Yani the meaning of it is, yani hamzatul istifam. A'adayta? Have you fulfilled, have you performed faridatul hajj? The obligation of hajj, the obligatory hajj? An nafsika, on behalf of yourself, qabla hadha, before this, and have you performed the obligatory pilgrimage on behalf of yourself before this? The Prophet ﷺ is asking him. And by the way, some of the scholars say that this hadith, and this is the majority opinion, this hadith is a proof that it's not permissible for a person to perform hajj on behalf of someone else until they have performed it for themselves. While there are other scholars, actually, who hold a different opinion, who say that this is for nadab, yani means it's better, it's awla, it's more right, that you should perform hajj on behalf of yourself first. This is the opinion of some of the scholars. That it's not, yani, prohibited absolutely, but it's better that you do it for yourself first. In any case, it seems as though, yani, in this hadith, hujja an-nafsika, that's a command that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering him to make hajj for yourself first, but they said this order means it's mandub, not that it's wajib. According to one opinion, the more obvious opinion is that it's obligatory to make hajj for yourself first. Now, no med. A adadta means hal. I mean, not adadta, adayta. Means hal adayta. Hal adayta. Huh?
Long man. Ah. And that's why you like ah kalu. So he's asking if like.
The long med should be used when you have hamza with fatha, followed by hamza with sukoon. Like amanu. Yani originally it is hamza with fatha and hamza with sukoon. But here you have two hamza with fatha, both. A adayta. Naam. The scholars who say you cannot do hajj for anybody else until you do it for yourself say also the same for umrah. You can do it on behalf of somebody else, but after you did it for yourself first. Yani, this is the difference of opinion. Yani, the obvious meaning of this hadith is that you cannot perform pilgrimage for somebody else until you have performed your own pilgrimage. They say, those scholars say, and the like, the same thing with umrah. The other scholars say, no, you can, but it's better to do it for yourself first. Now,
but umrah is not mandatory.
That's not agreed upon. Some scholars say it is mandatory. Now, that's not something, that's not agreed upon. No, there's difference of opinion. Okay, so these are the expressions that came in this hadith. And after this, it's close to the time for the adhan, so if the adhan is called, we'll just take a break and then we'll come back to the meaning of this hadith. The meaning of this hadith, ma'an al-hadith, yani on page 43, middle of the page, Samia al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hajjatihi. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard during his pilgrimage, his one pilgrimage that he performed in the last year of his life. Samia fi hajjatihi rajulan, a man yuhrimu bil hajji an ghayrihi, a man entering the state of ihram to perform pilgrimage on behalf of other than himself, someone else. فَيَقُولُ لَبَيْكَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَةَ. So he was saying, here I am at your command, O Allah, on behalf of Shubruma. فَاسْتَفْسَرَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَةَ هَذَا. Yani, so the Prophet asked a question, he asked for clarification about this person named Shubruma. شُبْرُمَةَ هَذَا. This man named Shubruma. الَّذِي يُحْرِمُ بِالْحَجِّ عَنْهُ. That this man is making pilgrimage on behalf of. The Prophet asks about Shubruma. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ. So the man said, هُوَ أَخٌ لِي. He is a brother of mine. أَوْ قَالَ. Or he said, هُوَ قَرِيبٌ لِي. He is a relative of mine. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مَعْنَاهُ. So the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, that which its meaning is, that which its meaning is, هَلْ أَدَّيْتَ فَرِيضَةَ الْحَجِّ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ هَذَا. Okay, the meaning of the hadith, يعني, the Prophet ﷺ heard during his performance of pilgrimage, a man entering the state of ihram for pilgrimage on behalf of other than himself, يعني on behalf of someone else. That man was saying, لَبَيْكَ عَنْ شُبْرُمَةَ. Here I am, O Allah, answering your call on behalf of Shubruma. فَاسْتَفْسَرَ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. فَاسْتَفْسَرَ, يعني فَسَّرَ. جزاكَ خَيْرٌ. فَسَّرَ means to explain something. إِسْتَفْسَرَ means to ask for clarification. فَاسْتَفْسَرَ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked for clarification عن شُبْرُمَ تَحَذَا, on this man named Shubruma. الَّذِي يُحْرِمْ بِالْحَجْ عَنْهُ, that the person was entering the state of ihram on behalf of him. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلْ هُوَ أَخٌ لِي أَوْ قَالَ هُوَ قَرِيبٌ لِي. Yani the man said, he is a brother of mine or he is a relative of mine. فَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مَعَنَاهُ. At that time, this ma here is الَّذِي. It's not negation. Yani then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that which its meaning is, مَعَنَاهُ, its meaning is, هَلْ أَدَّيْتَ فريضة الحج عن نفسك قبل هذا. Have you performed the obligatory pilgrimage on behalf of yourself before this? Yani before this day today? قال الرجل يا لا. The man said, no, I have not. فقال له صلى الله عليه وسلم ما معناه, يعني الذي معناه. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, that which its meaning is, حجة عن نفسك أولا. Perform pilgrimage on behalf of yourself first. ثم حج بعد ذلك عن شبرمة. Then make pilgrimage after that, after making pilgrimage for yourself, then make pilgrimage on behalf of شبرمة. Now, how did they put things together?
How did the person did the Hajj, if he did the Hajj?
Because people made Hajj before the Pharaoh pilgrimage.
But with the idols and everything.
It doesn't matter. The point is that before the Prophet ﷺ made pilgrimage, and before that, Abu Bakr led the people in pilgrimage. And the Prophet instructed him how to perform the Hajj, and the people followed his instruction. That only in the last year of his life the Prophet ﷺ himself went, but people made pilgrimage before that. Yani Abu Bakr led the people in pilgrimage in the according to how the Prophet instructed him before that final year. Now, so he could have made pilgrimage, yani before, it's possible.
So people were following him to do as what he was doing, the same that he was doing.
But as far as the idols, when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, the idols were destroyed. That wasn't in the last year of the pilgrimage. That was in the conquest of Mecca. Idols were destroyed, all of them. طيب, after this, ما يستفادوا من الحديث من أحكام. And you know, actually when we study a hadith, we're studying it for more than one reason. One of the reasons we're studying it is because we want to know something about the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ in various things. We want to know about his behavior, how he dealt with things, how he worshipped, yani his interaction with his family, whatever. We want to learn these kind of things. But also we want to learn the legal rulings in our deen. So this part of the study, yani the ahkam, the legal rulings, is very important. Because the law, the sharia, has sources, and the primary sources is the Quran and Sunnah. So we study this hadith, we should be paying careful attention to the ahkam. What are the legal rulings that we may derive from this hadith? Because sometimes in the different madhahib, they have different opinions about something. So we want to know, yani, what came from a hadith directly, as opposed to what came from the opinions of the madhahib. And I don't mean the imams, I mean the madhahib, okay? Because the imams are one thing, and the madhab is something else. The imam has his view, and then after he passed away, the people who followed him, centuries later, sometimes they have views completely different than the imam. But that's attributed to the madhab, right? Okay, question? Now, Mustafa.
Oh, my question is, you said, Hujja al-Nafsika awalan.
I'm saying that's the meaning of what he said.
Right, but my question is, because you say awalan, because awalan is that the man or what?
Yes, yes, yes. Now, first, yani before, previous to this time, you should have, yani made hajj. If you didn't, now you have to make it first, and then second, in the future, later on, in another time, you can make it on behalf of Shubruma. Okay, there are two legal rulings that are mentioned for this particular hadith. ما يستفاد من الحديث من الأحكام. Number one, يجوز للمسلم أن يحج عن غيره من المسلمين. يجوز يعني جواز, جائز. It's permissible for the Muslim to perform pilgrimage on behalf of other than himself or other than herself. Someone من المسلمين, from amongst the Muslims. And he saw that, for example, if you have a relative, parent or otherwise, especially people in America, maybe we are entering Islam, maybe our parents are not Muslims. So maybe a person, they became a Muslim, and they want to do a good deed for their parent, so say, I'll make hajj for my mother. But their mother is not, wasn't a Muslim. So be clear that you can make hajj on behalf of somebody else from amongst the Muslims. From amongst the Muslims. Now, Shubruma?
No, not Shubruma.
An ghairihi?
A person?
Ghairihi, ghaira means other. Ghairihi, other than himself.
No, I was
going to
ask you a question. I want to ask you
a question. Okay, go ahead. And we're going to talk about it, okay? But let's just say this, right? In general, no act of worship that is obligatory upon people can be performed on their behalf unless there's a proof in the Sharia that allows that to be done on behalf of other people. Not every act of worship can be done on behalf of other people. Hajj is something can be done on behalf of other people, okay? That's the first thing. First point, not every act of worship can be done on behalf of other people. Second point is no obligatory deed that the people were able to do and they refused to do it. They just said, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it, whatever. Then you can't do it for them. If they didn't do it when they were able to do it for themselves. But the person who can't, not able to do it, then you can do it on behalf of them if it is from the deeds that's permissible to do for somebody else. Okay? So if a person died and they were unable to perform Hajj, then yeah, you can do it for them. But if they were able and they just said, yani, it's not important to me. But no, we have to go on because we're going to finish this lesson and then we ask as many questions as you like, okay? Okay, the first point is, we didn't even finish the first hukum yet. It's permissible for the Muslim to perform pilgrimage on behalf of someone other than himself or herself from amongst the Muslims. Be shart, with the condition, have to be fulfilled before it's allowed, and yahujja عن نفسه أولا, that person has performed pilgrimage for themselves first before they do it for somebody else. Second point, la yajuz, it is not permissible, al-hajju an al-ghayri, to perform pilgrimage on behalf of somebody else, ma lam yahujja al-mar'u an-nafsi. Yani the opposite meaning, as long as the person has not performed pilgrimage for themselves. Yani it's permissible to perform pilgrimage for someone else from amongst the Muslims, as long as you did it for yourself first. It's not permissible to perform pilgrimage for somebody else as long as you have not performed the pilgrimage for yourself first. Okay? So these two points are the opposite of one another. Yani, when is it permissible? When is it not permissible? It's just the opposite understanding of it. Okay, questions? No, I mean questions here from the book. Bottom of the page, page 43, As'ila. Men qala hadha wa liman. Who said this and who did he say it to? Hujja an nafsika, thumma hujja an shubrumata. Who said it and to who? Naam. The Prophet said this, and he said it to who? He said to the man who wanted to perform pilgrimage on behalf of Shubruma. Okay, next page, top of the page 44, question number 2. Mal ahkam al mustafad min hadha al hadith. What are the legal rulings that are derived from this hadith? Two. Number one, Naam Mustafa. Bishart?
Bishart.
And your hujjah?
Naam.
That is permissible for somebody to perform hajj for somebody else from amongst the Muslims with the condition that they performed it for themselves first. Second ruling? Musa. An-nafsi. Yani it's not permissible for anybody to perform pilgrimage for somebody else as long as he has not performed pilgrimage for himself first. Question number 3. Akhun li aw qaribun li. This statement. Akhun li aw qaribun. Ahakadha qala ar-rajul am huwa shakkun min Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Yani this expression, akhun li aw qaribun li, is this the way the man said it? The man was in doubt who he was performing hajj for? Or was this doubt from Abdul ibn Abbas, Abu Bakr? Huh? Shakun min who? Min al-rajul or min Ibn Abbas? Min Ibn Abbas, from the narrator. And it wasn't the man who was unsure, is it my brother or my relative? No, it was the narrator. Question number 4. Hati al-mudari' wal-amra min hajja wa-labba wa-ahrama. The mudari and the amra. Give me the past tense and then the present tense and then the yani amra. First one, Hajja. Naam.
Hajja,
Yahujju.
Yahujju.
Amr?
Hujja.
Hujja. Yani Hajja, Yahujju, Hujja. Okay, Labba. Naam. Mustafa.
Yulabbi.
Labba, Yulabbi, fil Amr?
Labbi.
Without elongation, right? Without elongation. Because when it's and if fail amra, then the last letter should be majzoom, but if it's a weak letter, it's hazf, harf illa. Naam, the weak letter is deleted, so it's labbi, without any elongation. Ahrama. Ahrama, yuhrimu. Ahrim. Ahrim. Ahrama, meaning into the state of ihram. Yuhrimu, ahrim. Okay, question number 5. Uktub hadha al-hadith bi suratu hiwar. We're going to skip that and come back to it. Question number 6. Hati mufrad ar-ruwat. What is the singular of ar-ruwat? Naam. Ar-rawi. Ar-rawi. The narrator. Naam. Question number... Naam.
Ruwat is the narrator.
Ruwat is plural. Rawi is singular. Ruwat is plural. Narrators. Rawi, singular. Ma mana labbayka. Ma mana labbayka. Ijabatan ba'da ijabatin. Answering one time after another. Naam. And what is the meaning of labba? That's not in, on the paper, but what is the meaning of labba?
Labba is
If you say labba rajulu, it means what? Yani qala labbaik allahumma labbaik. If you say labba rajulun, a man labba means he said labbaik allahumma labbaik. Okay, let's go back to question number 5. Question number 5, uktub hadha al-hadith bi surat al-hiwa. Yani write this hadith out, yani as though it is a conversation. Yani this is like a conversation, except there's no mention of who's saying what, right? It's just qala qala qala. So we want to make it clear, like it's a conversation between two people. Yani, for example, anybody wrote it? Did anybody write it? Oh, you gave it to me already. This yours here?
Yeah.
Read it to me. Read it to us. Now, conversation. That's yours?
Yeah, that's mine.
You anticipated.
He did his homework.
Yeah, he did homework.
I'm just read it, right?
Read it, now.
Read it,
go ahead.
عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
or you might say, يعني, go ahead, keep going, go ahead. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. That, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع رجلا يقول
Okay, he heard a man saying
لبيك عن شبرمتة
Here I am answering your call on behalf of شبرمة نعم
قال
النبي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شبرمتة
نعم So the Prophet يعني when he heard that he said who is شبرمة نعم من شبرمتة نعم Now, قال الرجل, then the man said,
أخ لي أو قريب لي.
Here, أخ, he said, أخ لي. أو قال, or he said, يعني قريب لي. We want to make it clear that he said this, or he said that. He didn't say both of them. Now.
قال رسول الله.
نعم, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Have you performed Hajj on behalf of yourself? Then the man said, قال لا ما حججت عن نفسي. يعني conversation. Now, go ahead.
قال ما حججت عن نفسي. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
حج عن نفسك أولا.
يعني make pilgrimage on behalf of yourself first. Then make a pilgrimage on behalf of شبرمة. Now, يعني the point here, right, is to see if we understood the hadith well enough to be able to make it into a full conversation. Okay, this is the end of it, and time is almost up. We're going to take your question, Mustafa, but first, before that, we're going to read next week's hadith quickly. Al-hadith, and also before I read it, this is the next to the last hadith next week. And then after that is the final hadith. And then we're going to write the hadith, inshallah, out by from our memories, inshallah. For whoever would like to. Al-hadith al-tasi'u ashara, page 44. Al-hadithu al-tasi'u ashara, the 19th hadith. Fi fadli al-jihadi fi sabirillah. Concerning the excellence, the virtue of striving in the way of Allah. An Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله يعني رسول الله right in the word Allah لفظ الجلالة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو مات على شعبة من النفاق رواه مسلم يعني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه on the authority of Abu Hurairah may Allah be pleased with him he said قال رسول الله right in the word here قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the messenger of Allah said من مات whoever died ولم يغزو while he had not went out to fight in the way of Allah لم يغزو يعني الغزوة لم يغزو يعني مجزوم ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو Nor did he even think about going out in the ghazwa. He didn't do it, nor did he even consider it. Such a person, mata ala shu'batin min an-nifaq. This person has died upon a branch of hypocrisy. A branch of hypocrisy. Yani, the person who didn't go in the ghazwa, nor even consider going, didn't even think about it. It's not even important. It's not even a thought in their mind. This person has died on a branch of hypocrisy. Not that they are hypocrite, but they have some of the, yani, some aspect of hypocrisy. Now, okay, this is the end of our class for today, but we're going to take, we have a couple of minutes remaining, so we're going to take the question from Mustafa first.
It's like Hajj is mandatory for a living person who has the means.
Hajj is mandatory for a living person who has the means.
Muslim.
Who has
the means.
Uh-huh.
But the person died and he did not have the means and did not perform Hajj.
No.
So he's no longer.
So he's excused. Right. Yeah, he's excused now. Yani, the person who died never having had the ability to perform Hajj, not the means to get there, the money, or whatever is necessary. Safety, safe route. Maybe the road is not safe. So a person can't travel from their country to Mecca because it's dangerous. They'll be killed on the road. So they can't go even though they have money. So a person has money, safety, conveyance to get there, then it'd be obligatory upon them. Person doesn't have that, it's not obligatory upon them. If a person died and they didn't make Hajj because they were unable to, then they are excused. No.
Right, if I ask last week and I hear from my brother, I say, so now I change. That's why I say I ask.
Okay, but the person who never had the ability, they're excused.
Right, that's why I say. I get my that. Second, that person also, inshallah, I intend to do Hajj again, if I allow it. But I have a problem with my knee. Like, when you do Hajj, I cannot run.
Okay, whoever is unable to do something, you're excused from it. فَتَّقُوا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ as much as you can. The person who can't run doesn't have to run. Person who can't walk doesn't have to walk. They get in a wheelchair. Person who can't whatever, they're excused, right? According to your ability. Everybody according to their ability. Everybody can't run. Some people can't even walk. Forget about running. Some people can't walk. So they're excused. They ride in the wheelchair or somebody carries them. Now,
I saw somebody on
oh, you're one of these moving things?
Yeah.
No, that's nonsense.
You have this thing that you can stand, that is your
right.
Standing
where?
At Hajj.
It's as though they're in a playground or something, yeah. in a skateboard park or something. No, Hajj, that's not the place for that. Okay, any other question about the Hadith?
That's alright, right?
No, that's not alright. That's not alright, no. That's not alright. He probably snuck in there with that. You know, if they would have caught him, they should have. Yeah, and he took it from him. Now, any question about the Hadith? Okay, we're going to stop here then. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. By the way, let me just mention here, this word mawquf, maybe you can't see it good because I wrote it kind of quickly. Mawquf. Okay, you should know this word, even though we mentioned it briefly today. Mawquf means that it is stopped, yani from waqf, waqafa, means it stopped at the companion, yani as a saying of the companion, stopped at the companion. And it doesn't go back all the way to the Prophet as a statement of the Prophet. And this word marfu on here, marfu, yani means that it's raised up, means it goes all the way to the Prophet, yani raised up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, I just wanted to mention that because that was part of our technical discussion today. So please, yani, you're supposed to know these two words now. Mawqufun means it waqf, yani waqafa, stopped at the companion. It didn't go all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Marfu'un from rafa'a, is raised up all the way, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we say this is mawquf, it means it's a statement of a companion. If we say it's marfu'un, it means a statement of the Prophet. Now,
so for example, if we have a hadith from a companion who is saying that he saw the Prophet Muhammad doing something,
now,
but he didn't mention a saying of the Prophet
in the hadith. So this would be
mawquf. No, it won't be mawquf, no. Because it is attributed to the Prophet. He's narrating a something that he saw the Prophet doing. So he's attributing it to the Prophet. The Prophet did it.
So what would be an example of a mawquf?
Maybe this could be mawquf, because in some of the narrations it said Ibn Abbas heard the man saying that, and Ibn Abbas told him, make hajj for yourself first. In the other narrations, in Ibn Abi Shayb, in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayb, it's narrated mawquf as a statement, not of the Prophet, as a statement of Ibn Abbas, that Ibn Abbas said that. That's, it came in the narration like that. That's why some scholars had the discussion, is this narration really marfu'un, or is it mawqufun? The statement, make hajj on yourself first, is that a statement from the Prophet or a statement from Ibn Abbas? Well, we believe that it is a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. As some of the scholars said, the marfu narration is authentic. And some scholars said that even though it's narrated mawquf one place and marfu in another, those who narrated marfu are thiqa. And if the person is thiqa, that means ziyadatu thiqa maqboola. This is a rule in hadith. Ziyadatu al-thiqa maqboola. That which came as extra information from a reliable narrator is acceptable. So that's extra information. If somebody took it further and said, no, it's not, didn't stop at Ibn Abbas, actually I know that it really all went all the way back to the Prophet, that's extra information. If the person who brought the extra information is reliable, is thiqa, then their narration is accepted.
From the example of this hadith, I don't still see the meaning of
mawquf,
because we have
mawquf means a statement or an action that goes back to the Prophet. I mean, that stops from the companion. It's not a statement of the Prophet. It's not an action of the Prophet.
Do you have an example of such hadith?
Yes, I have it.
Yeah, he has it for you.
The previous book we studied, my mother used to be Naisha and Dr. Lennart. And he was saying, Wakul to Anna.
No. The hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud. He said that he heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that, and then he said, and I am saying that this. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, Man mata yushriku billahi shay'an dakhala an-nar. That's marfu'un. The Prophet said it. Then Abdul ibn Mas'ud said, Wa qultu ana, and I said, Man mata la yushrik billahi shay'an dakhala al-jannah. That's mawquf. That's the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud.
Anyway, I have another question.
No, go ahead.
Mafu here raised up is like it is written the same like you write mafu is a dhamma. Any link?
Huh? You got me.
When you say mafu,
marfu'un, naam.
Is it the same thing like mafu, the dhamma? Or fatha or kasra?
Oh, you mean the case in grammar, in Arab.
Right. So is there any link? Do we return the same?
No. Not in the meaning of this meaning here, no.
Yeah, I understand, but it's written the same.
Of course, there are words, right, that have different meanings,
yeah,
that are not related to each other. Sometimes complete opposite meaning. Yani mawla, yani in the Quran, anta mawlana, fansuruna ala al-qawm. Mawla means what? Our master. But mawla, the mawla of Ibn Abbas, means the slave of Ibn Abbas. So mawla, the same word, not only has different meaning, have complete opposite meaning. In one place it means the master, and the other place it means the slave. So some words, yes, have more than one meaning that are unrelated. This word has more meanings that are not related to one another. No relation whatsoever.
Right.
That's possible. No. And sometimes when we look at a word, we actually take the meaning that's applicable to the context that we're looking at it in. And sometimes we don't look at the other meanings because it's not applicable to what we're reading. But if you look in the dictionary, sometimes you find some meanings have nothing to do with what we're talking about on the point here. So this is, yeah, it's the same word, written the same way, but different meaning. Okay, one of its meaning is grammatical application, yani, means it's a technical grammar term. Okay, that means it's in the nominative case. Here it means something completely different. It means that it's something that's attributed to the Prophet. It's also a technical hadith term. Both of them are technical terms. Each has its own distinct, completely different meaning in each science that we're looking at. Now. Okay, we're finished.